Welcome to the John Thomas Hill Show. It is I, the aforementioned John Thomas Hill. Welcome, welcome, welcome. It's been a while since we've talked, and I need to talk more on this particular podcast. And what I'm going to talk about today is, very simply put, we're dealing with a situation in Ukraine that I really don't know if we're ready for just yet. Now, I'm not one of these people that, you know, goes hog wild and thinks the world's going to end because Russia's up to something, but Russia is up to something. The problem is, I'm the exact opposite. I think we've got to be tougher on Russia. I think we've got to be ready to be a lot harsher on Russia, because in my humble opinion, I think that Russia needs to be dealt with just like Hitler was dealt with at the end of World War, during World War II, I should say. Now, you're probably going, John, you can't be serious. Surely you're not suggesting we should go to war over this. Let me be perfectly frank with you. The only reason we're not going to war right now and with Russia over Ukraine is because they have nuclear weapons. That's it. If they didn't have nuclear weapons and we didn't have nuclear weapons, if you've seen what the Russian military has done in Ukraine in an operation that should have taken them a far less amount of time to conquer that country than they've done, and they've not even come close to conquering it. Russia outweighs Ukraine significantly. And the only way they could possibly win this conflict, ladies and gentlemen, is very simple: by wasting a lot of Russian blood in this. And unfortunately, Vladimir Putin probably would be willing to do that. And that's the scary part about all this, is the fact that here is someone who has pretty much made it his ambition in life to make Russia great again, by basically bringing it back to the way it was during the Russian Empire, even before there was even a Soviet Union. Now, how did this all come about? Well, I'm going to tell you in just a moment, but first we're going to take you to this message. So how did this all come about? How did we get to this point where we have Vladimir Putin being the dictator that he is, where 30 years ago when the Soviet Union declined, we had good old Boris Yeltsin, good old affable Boris Yeltsin, who never turned down a vodka in his life as far as we know. Well, it's very simple. Boris Yeltsin was hailed by the West as being this great reformer and basically turning Russia into their version of United States East. Their idea was, hey, we won the Cold War. Now Russia's got to be a lot more like us. The problem is that not a whole lot of Russians wanted to go along with that idea. You see, for centuries, ever since there became a Russia, there has been a real fear instilled within the Russian people of becoming too close to the West and losing their identity. You could say that in the Russian culture, there is a certain paranoia about the West. They've been invaded several times in the past. Napoleon, Hitler, just to name a few. I mean, they've had their share of battles with the West in the past. And Obviously, there was before, centuries ago, you had the Mongolians, Genghis Khan sweeps through there, and with his gigantic khanate before there even was a Russia. But today, what we're seeing is the result of 20 years, in my opinion, over 20 years, of an organized attempt by Vladimir Putin to reclaim Russian glory. Now, as you can imagine, the Russians were not happy about losing the Cold War to the United States and seeing the collapse of the Soviet Union. I've always said that we really shouldn't gloat about winning the Cold War because we didn't win it as much as the Russians lost it. They were riddled with corruption. They were, basically the whole facade of the Soviet infrastructure, political infrastructure was caving in because it was just so corrupt. It was not about the people. It never was about the people. The whole point of communism and socialism was pretty much wasted because, hey, why bother with why bother with the peasants and the working class people? We want to have our own. And that's essentially what happened. Now, I could go into an even deeper dive about this and go into the fact that there were people who did try to make things right. And to a degree, one of those people was Mikhail Gorbachev. The problem is, unfortunately for Gorbachev, is that his reforms eventually led to the very thing he was trying to prevent, which was the collapse of the Soviet Union. And the one thing that many people who are autocrats don't like is to be told, no, you can no longer be corrupt anymore. Yeah, if you notice, that's not particularly fondly looked at by autocrats, but I digress. The one thing I will tell you about very, very specifically is that it's no accident Vladimir Putin came to power. I firmly believe that Vladimir Putin, along with several of his comrades in the old KGB, had a plan when the Soviet Union fell. They wanted to get Russia back on their feet. And the way to do that was to convince the West, and namely us, that Russia was their friend. Russia posed no threat to the NATO and Europe and America and whatnot. Well, they didn't for the 90s, because Boris Yeltsin was going out of his way to make sure everybody knew that Russia was not a threat. They were the good guys now. They were having their troubles, sure, but they were trying to make themselves a market-based economy, when in reality, Boris Yeltsin was just as corrupt, if not more so, than the very regime he had took over from. And so there you go. You go from a corrupt Soviet regime to a corrupt Russian regime, and the oligarchs basically seized as much wealth as they could and kept the average people from getting anything out. So you go from one system that supposedly supported socialism, but in reality was anything but, to a system that was supposedly capitalist, and in reality was anything but. It was basically the rich folks got really, really rich, and the poor folks are just where they were in the Soviet Union. So during all the 90s, there was a push to bring back the Soviet Union, to bring back Russian glory. They saw Boris Yeltsin as a failure. They saw Boris Yeltsin as giving in to the West. And, he became very unpopular, and as his health failed, he decided to appoint a successor. Now, that successor was not so much appointed as sort of like forced upon him, because Vladimir Putin was very much unlike Boris Yeltsin. But Putin was a lot more savvy. He didn't want the West to see him for what he really was. And for the first term of George W. Bush's presidency, he could basically cuddle up to George W. Bush. Now, there was this event called 9/11. I'm sure you've heard about it, where, you know, we had this event, this terrorist attack take place, and it shook up the world, and of course, shook up the United States. And it allowed Vladimir Putin to basically do things in his country while the United States and Europe were more occupied with Osama bin Laden. They were not worried so much about terrorism. I mean, they were not worried so much about the old Soviet Union as they were about Osama bin Laden possibly launching another terrorist attack. Well, it's not that Putin was behind 9/11 or anything, because that's never been proven. I don't believe that anyway. But like a lot of politicians, a lot of historical figures, he took advantage of a situation that pretty much presented itself on into his lap. He was able to build up the Russian military into a significant threat to Europe, while Europe and the United States were more focused on Al-Qaeda and other terrorist threats. And Russia even got people to look kindly on them because, hey, they had their own terrorist situation in Chechnya. We're finding out now that Russia was just as bad, if not worse, than the Chechens they were supposedly fighting, protecting Mother Russia from Chechen terrorists. Well, I don't know if you remember 2008, but there was that whole situation at the Summer Olympics where the Russians were getting a little bent out of shape about the Republic of Georgia. And there was some military action. Didn't last too long. But Russia came in and said, oh, the Georgians are oppressing Russian-speaking people. Where have we heard that before? Well, you're about to find out even more as we take a look at the strategy Vladimir Putin has been utilizing to prepare for what we're seeing right now in Ukraine. So here we are. It's the early 2010s. And Putin's riding high. He's got the summer, the Winter Olympics coming to Sochi, Russia in 2014. But he doesn't like the fact that Ukraine is kind of being tempted by the West. And he decides, you know, we really like Crimea. There's some Russian-speaking people in Crimea. And once again, the cry goes out, we've got to protect Russian-speaking people. Well, he takes Crimea, much to the chagrin of the Ukrainians, obviously, and much to the protesting of the United States, Europe, and everybody else. The only problem was, we couldn't do anything about it militarily. Why? Because Russia has these things called nukes. I think you've heard about them. Nuclear weapons, the kind of things that wipe off cities off the face of the earth and cause fallout and all sorts of nasty other things. Well, folks, let me go ahead and tell you this much. We can't be afraid of nukes in this situation. Vladimir Putin saw this as the West basically caving in to him. There were economic sanctions, yes. There's a lot of diplomatic huff and puffs and all this, and crying out about Putin doing this and all that, but basically he got away with it. And unfortunately, when you let a dictator get away with something like he got away with, they think they can do more. Now, he wasn't going to just start going after Ukraine. You know, he wanted to basically put his selected person into power to basically do like they have in Belarus, which is have a puppet dictator who basically is Putin's bestest buddy that's in Belarus. And what you're seeing is Putin going, well, I want to put my guy in charge of Ukraine. And for a time he did. Then he got voted out in 2019 by the guy that we see now, Mr. Zelensky, the current president of Ukraine, who is very much not an admirer of Vladimir Putin. And there's been this whisper campaign that's turned into a vocal campaign that's turned into now a military campaign where Vladimir Putin is trying to save Russian-speaking people in Ukraine, and specifically the eastern parts of Ukraine. So what better way to save those people than invade the entire dead gum country? And that's pretty much what he was trying to do. He was even attacking targets very close to the Polish border and making people think, is he really, what's his really game really all about? Here's what his game is. He's still relatively young, all things considered. I mean, he's not, 30 years, but he's still, for an old Russian leader, still relatively young. His vision is to eventually take Ukraine. He doesn't have to conquer Belarus, although he might do it just for kicks. He wants to take Lithuania, he wants to take Latvia, he wants to take Estonia eventually, which he could probably do right now. The only problem is they're part of NATO, and he doesn't really want a war with NATO unless he really gets desperate. The problem is he wants to wear down countries like Poland and Hungary and Slovakia and Romania and Moldova. He wants to eventually turn those countries into where they're looking at Moscow and not at Washington and London and Brussels and wherever else, Paris, Berlin. That's his game. He wants to rebuild the old Soviet Union, but this time not as a communist regime, but as a totalitarian regime under his thumb. This isn't about improving the role of the worker and whatever. This is specifically to make Russia powerful again. The problem is Russia's got a lot of domestic problems that they can't deal with. Yes, they have all this great oil wealth and great mineral wealth. There's a lot of things that Russia should be capitalizing on to make their country better. The problem is a lot of that power wealth is in the hands of a very few people. And they don't like to part with it, especially to peasants that they look down their nose about. A lot of these people know Vladimir Putin really well because they used to work together in the old KGB days. And even if they didn't work for him in the KGB days, it was the old Soviet government. So essentially what you have right now in Russia is Vladimir Putin playing the part of Leonid Brezhnev from back in the 70s, except Vladimir Putin is not afraid of going to war with the West. Because he knows, hey, he can kill people. He can kill plenty of Russians as long as he's protected and he still has he's not afraid to lose plenty of Russian lives because he'll look at it as the evil Westerners are killing Russians, forcing me to send these troops into battle. He's not the first Russian leader to do that. Stalin did it in World War II. The Tsars did it in their wars in Europe, World War I, and the wars before that. They're willing to sacrifice their people, their land, and all that to win a war. History's shown time and again. That's the way the Russians do it. I firmly believe that Vladimir Putin wants a war with the West. He doesn't want it to be nuclear. He wants it to be where he's looked at as the hero in this story. And he wants history to repeat itself. He wants the West to come in to save Ukraine militarily and possibly take over Belarus and to take a shot at Moscow to end the Russian threat once and for all and get rid of Putin. But if you know anything about history, you know that Russian winters can be a real pain, a very cold pain. Just ask the French and others that were lost under Napoleon's rule. Just ask the Germans who were killed under Hitler's rule, that were sacrificed trying to conquer Russia, and it wound up costing them the war. So, where are we right now? We have a war in Ukraine that hasn't gone Russia's way so far, but Vladimir Putin can't quit. Why can he not quit? I'll tell you in a moment. Our final segment is, where is this all going? Are we going to have a war with Russia? Are we going to have a nuclear war with Russia? Are we about to see World War III? Are we about to see the end of the world as we know it? And we're not feeling fine. No. There were these things in Russia called generals. And they are, by and large, very powerful men. Very powerful men. They don't want to see Russia humiliated again. And the thing is, Russian generals and American generals do talk, either directly or indirectly, through back channels, through other generals in other countries and whatnot. I can assure you that right now, there are American generals telling their Russian counterparts that the best thing they could do for their country right now would be to overthrow Vladimir Putin. Will they do it? Probably not. Why? Because Putin is very, very powerful. And he's not afraid to kill generals. He's not afraid to kill people that are a threat. But here's the thing. The war continues on. Despite his propaganda machine in Russia, people are going to start going, hey, where's Anatoly? What happened to Vasily? Why hasn't he come back from Ukraine? Where is he? And people are starting to find out, hey, there are soldiers coming home dead in a war. Not a special military operation, but a full-blown war. He's trying to clamp down on something technologically by having his own version of the Great Wall of the Internet, like China does. The problem is there's this thing called word of mouth. And it's starting to have an impact. Russians are getting upset more and more. The only reason that you don't see it as much is because they have done a thorough job of clamping down on it. But behind the scenes, there are people close to Putin who are scared. And generals who are going, should we make a move? Right now they're saying, nyet. But I do believe in the near future, possibly as early as this summer, I believe that nyet turns into a da, and they make a move. Now, if they do it, they have to do it quickly, and they'll only get one shot at it. If you're going to throw a coup, make a coup, you don't usually get two shots at it. And what you're going to see is it'll probably happen when Putin is on vacation. If he goes on vacation. He remembers what happened to Mikhail Gorbachev in 1991, in the summer of 1991, when Gorbachev went to his dacha on the Black Sea. And yeah, he almost got overthrown. And the only reason he didn't get overthrown was that Boris Yeltsin, then president of the Russian Republic, Russian Federation, he said, no, we're not having it. And Boris Yeltsin saved Mikhail Gorbachev's bacon. The only problem is this time around is that there's nobody to save Vladimir Putin's bacon if this happens, because I don't believe there's enough people in Russia, in high enough places in Russia to save him, should a move like this take place. And I think that it's going to take place a lot sooner than we expect. Now, do I think that it could succeed? I think it's 50-50 at best. Vladimir Putin is a very well-educated counterintelligence and intelligence person. He has almost assuredly got people listening in to generals and their attachés and their people around them and in other government. They will report on this. So if they're going to do this, it's going to have to be very quickly, and it's going to have to be without somebody noticing it. Now, they could just potentially take a sniper and shoot Vladimir Putin. It may be that simple. The only problem is, A, if you don't kill him, then there's going to be hell to pay. B, if you do kill him, who takes over could be worse than Vladimir Putin. So there's an interesting game going on. Behind the scenes, I'm almost assured this is going on, is that there you've got Russian generals right now contemplating overthrowing their own supposedly elected president to protect the country from possibly a war with the West. And that's the thing that scares a lot of people in Washington and London and Paris and Berlin and Brussels and other capitals for one simple reason. If they launch the coup and Vladimir Putin realizes he's done for, who's to say he wouldn't launch those nukes? He wouldn't be crazy, but he's like, if they're going to kill me anyway, why not? What have I got to lose? I'm a dead man walking anyway. That's the scary part in all of this, is that you have a man who, quite frankly, is not crazy, but he is ruthless, and he is willing to let a lot of people die in order to protect his skin. It's that simple. The future is scary. And right now, you've got a few men in very high positions in Russia. Because let's face it, very few women are that powerful enough to deal with Putin. They've not advanced like we have here in the United States, unfortunately. The concern I have, and I think a lot of us have, is that what happens if Vladimir Putin realizes he's done for and decides to take everybody out with him? Or what if the generals decide that it's too risky and leave him in power? They're going to follow orders, aren't they? They don't want to get shot, do they? So what happens if Vladimir Putin issues an order, let's go conquer the Baltic states, or let's go get Finland, or let's go get Turkey? Which probably won't happen because Turkey is becoming more and more of a Russian friend than anything else. And that's scary because Turkey's allegedly still part of NATO. And then you've got Hungary, who is becoming less and less enamored with Europe and more in line with Russia. You've got Serbia, who has always been Russia's friend in Europe. and they would like to get some of theirs back after what happened in the 1990s with the collapse of the Yugoslavian nation. So what happens now? A lot of things can go wrong in this, but I do believe firmly that but before the end of summer, Vladimir Putin will no longer be in power. He will either be dead or he will be in jail awaiting trial and almost certainly to be shot in a basically a show trial. Now, whoever comes after him, that remains to be seen. My concern is what happens to us in the meantime. A lot's going to happen in the next few months. We got to keep an eye on it. Well, that's it for now. Thank you for joining me on this special edition of the John Thomas Hill Show. Hope you have a great weekend. And as we always say here, good night, good luck, and may the good news be yours.